Hey, Megan, if our show were a lady in the Renaissance or pre-Renaissance or post-Renaissance and you were a knight, would you take her hanky into battle and fight for her?
Hanky?
Yeah, like their token.
I'm not taking anybody's hanky. especially not during feudal times.
Yeah, would have been gross. That's 100%
a plague situation.
It's a plague hanky. Chances are,
yeah.
Plague hanky.
9 times out of 10, a handkerchief during the Renaissance, not the Renaissance, during pre-Renaissance England.
What, had plague?
The plague hanky.
Crawling all over it.
Yeah. Did you know that there wasn't just the one type of plague?
Just several plagues?
There were multiple types of plague. Like, during the time of Henry VIII, there was, I wish I remember what it was called, but it was every summer there was this crazy plague that wiped out, like, tons of people in cities. And it wasn't the plague that we know. It was one, you know, that we learn about in history.
Sure.
Like the Black Death. It was one where it literally took, like, less than 24 hours.
We have one. It's called Burning Man every summer. We lose a lot of good people. You know,
it killed Thomas Cromwell's wife.
Really?
Burning Man did.
And then Thomas Cromwell, well, let's just say he didn't die from a plague.
No, but seriously, yeah.
Jeez.
Thomas Cromwell's wife. He was really attached to her.
There's a house in London that you can go and see that's like the house where nobody died of plague.
What?
The house.
The anti-plague house.
The only one.
Wow.
Probably.
That's really impressive. Oh, man. And then, like, there were plagues in the U.S.
Yeah.
There was, what was the one? Yeah, the yellow fever epidemic.
Yes.
Which just wiped out tons of people, and no one knew it was mosquitoes the whole time.
It's always mosquitoes.
It's always mosquitoes.
If it's not
or
lupus.
Rats. It's not rats, it's mosquitoes. It's not mosquitoes, it's rats.
Well, we hope this show won't plague your ears this week on Magic the Amateur.
Smooth. Real smooth.
Like butter. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
Yeah, and this is a magic show for people who are new to the game, players returning to the game, or everybody who likes to have laugh times in their bath times or other times.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you listen to this podcast, as long as you're having a good time doing it.
That's right.
And if you're not, you know...
What are you doing?
GTFO.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a super awesome show for you this week. We're going to talk tribal decks.
That's right. This is a request from a Patreon subscriber.
Yep, tribal decks. We're going to delve deep into that topic. We have another request that came to us from Twitter, where we're going to talk a little bit about Commander 2016 and name the grossest and cutest card because we haven't done it yet.
That's right.
Oh, oversight.
Commander 2016, cutest and grossest card.
So we have to rectify that. And then we're going to talk about the World Magic Cup, which is coming up this weekend in the Netherlands.
That's right. Everybody keeps posting pictures of canals.
I know.
Makes me really jealous.
And waffles.
Stroop waffle. It's not waffle. It's stroop waffle. It's a different thing.
What is this? What is it?
Oh my God, Maria. Okay. It's like these two thin, crispy wafers, which do have the waffle pattern on them, but they're only like, you know, like this big.
Oh,
like,
tiny.
Yeah. They're small. And then they're like thin and crispy. And between them is like basically kind of like caramel.
Oh, I'd eat that.
Oh, it's really
good. I'd eat
that
all day.
It's like a honey caramel. It's like honey.
Could I also put
thicker.
Like powdered sugar and chocolate on my strip waffle?
You wouldn't. It's like perfect the way it is.
It's
not like a baked
fruit.
Thing. No, it's not like a thing you eat on a plate. It's like a cookie situation, kind
of. Oh, a cookie
you
situation.
You buy it in a package.
Okay, I'm in.
You buy a package of like 12.
The Netherlands, known for...
Stroop waffle.
Stroop waffle.
Also, pannekoeken. Oh, you guys are really... That's my Netherlands food, is pannekoeken. That's right.
I have only been to a pannekoeken here in the U.S., and it was, you know, an experience. It was a delicious experience.
Yeah.
And they ran to my table and yelled, pannekoeken.
Yeah. I thought you were about to say something mean about pannekoeken, and I was going to have to yell at you to shut up.
No.
Pannekoeken's great.
But yeah, canals, stroop waffle, flowers.
Pannekoeken. Oh, fries with mayonnaise.
Ugh.
Oh, it's so good.
Sick.
So good.
Is America the only country that puts ketchup on fries?
No, other places do it.
Hey.
But really, the way you're supposed to eat it is mayonnaise. So good. Are you being serious right now?
I don't like mayonnaise on anything, though. So I can't like it on a fry.
Oh, it's so good.
Sometimes I just like my fries naked like the day they were born, you know?
That's really terrible.
Just a little upsetting. It's the same way, like, people are like, why don't you want more stuff on, like on a burger or a steak? People want steak sauce or whatever. I'm like, no.
Okay, steak sauce is not really a thing.
What do you mean?
You're not in the minority and not wanting steak sauce. Okay. I would argue that you're in the majority and not wanting steak sauce.
So you're telling me the majority is mayonnaise?
I'm not saying the majority is mayonnaise. I'm saying that the minority of fried eating people in the U.S.
That's true.
Is no mayonnaise. Worldwide, I think it might lean towards pro mayonnaise.
You know, I would actually like to do a worldwide survey. Exclamation mark poll. What do you put on your fries?
Yeah.
And then there's a poll. So somebody out there, make that happen, because I want to know. I don't know if there's been a scientific study. I'm
gonna put it on Twitter right now.
Okay.
Where you live in the future.
You guys, once you see this, it will have already happened, but it's happening for us right now. We're going to talk World Magic Cup is what the long way of saying that. It's a huge tournament. It's really exciting. It's a team tournament. So teams from various countries around the world compete for the title of the best team to play Magic. It's super exciting. Team Sealed and Unified Modern. We're going to talk about what the heck that means coming up later in the show, as well as a flavor text theater. And if you're on Twitter, it's too late to go vote in this poll because it's already done. So yep. Sorry you missed it, but you can go check out the results at MTA Cast.
Yes. Before we start our show. You can also tweet at us like what you think.
Oh, yeah,
your
sure.
Your mom is calling you.
I know. I just saw it on my Apple Watch.
Oh, gosh. You're so fancy.
Before we start the show, though, while Megan makes this poll, I'm going to say thank you to the people who helped make it happen. And that includes all of you out there who are members on patreon.com/MTAcast. Thank you so much to everybody who's become a new member over the past week. We're so, so happy to have you. For anybody else who's been considering it, maybe this is the week that you make the jump. For as little as $1 an episode, you can support the show.
Okay, here's the poll. Okay. What do you put on your fries? Ketchup, mayonnaise, nothing other.
Can we do any more options?
No, there's only four.
Okay, that's fine then.
I mean, we could also, like, what else would you put?
Like, vinegar, I think, what do they put in Canada?
That falls under
other. Yes, yeah, it does.
That also includes, like, aiolis.
A pickle.
You can't put a pickle on top of fries.
Patreon. So we've had so many people join our family. It'd be lovely if you did as well. You keep the podcast running from week to week, and we appreciate it greatly. We also have to say thank you, of course, to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast for being a sponsor of the show.
You can go to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast for all of your Magic playing needs, whether it be boosters to do some sweet drafts, singles to make some sweet standard or modern or EDH decks, sleeves to sleeve all of your sweet cards for all of those sweet formats. Whatever you need to play Magic, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast has got it.
So this is episode 199, by the way.
Yes.
One more and it's 200.
Yes. I feel like that's misleading. You need to say that the next one is 200. One more makes it sound like there's like 199.5.
That would... If you're a member on Patreon, there is technically a 0.5 when we do our little extra 5-minute shows that you can access if you're a member. But, you know, episode 200 is coming up. It's our musical episode. You won't want to miss it. That's all I have to say.
I agree with that.
For the noobs, tribal decks.
That's right. So what the Patreon request actually was for us to pick our totally biased best tribal decks.
Whoa. All right.
So we'll go into that in a minute. But first, what does tribal mean? So it's a format, and you have to kind of narrow it down inside of that because it can depend. It is a constructed format, so it's 60 cards. And the overall rule is that 1/3 of those cards have to share a creature type. So if your creature type is, if you're doing like an elf tribal deck, for instance, 1/3 of your cards need to be creature type elf.
Right.
And they can be elf shamans, elf, you know, elf other, elf druids.
Bard. Is there an elf bard?
Elf dogs. Elf hounds.
Elf angel.
Yes, they can be any of those, but they have to be creature type elf. So that's like the baseline. But inside of that, you and the people that you're playing with can pick, hey, are we going to do only standard legal cards? Are we going to do modern legal cards? Are we going to do legacy legal, vintage legal?
Whoa.
So you can pick inside of that and then make your decks kind of varying power levels, depending on what kind of format inside of Tribal you want to do.
I'm wearing a squirrel sweater today,
yes,
in celebration of my favorite tribe in Magic, which is squirrels.
Yes.
I don't know if there's enough to build a deck of.
That's a really good question.
I should
because
look that
it
up.
Does still have the rule of you can only have four.
Yes, yes.
You can only have four.
So you can also build a tribal deck in whatever format you technically want. If you consider modern, there's tribal decks going on in modern. Megan just played an elves deck.
Yeah.
That qualifies.
Had lots of elves in it, man.
Merfolk.
Yep.
People
lots
love merfolk.
Of merfolk.
Eldrazi, there's Eldrazi decks running around. Probably count as tribal.
They totally are.
So yeah, it's one that you can bring or port over into other formats or just play as a format in and of itself like we did in the Community Super League earlier this year.
Yeah, and it's fun because, again, it kind of just depends on the people that you're playing with. You could be like, hey, we're only going to do standard legal. So then your power level is going to be quite a bit lower if it's just like kitchen table play. Or you can go all the way up to like, we're going to use like the vintage list and the vintage ban list.
Whoa.
So you can make, you know, you can have like crazy power nine cards in there if you want. And really insane decks. Exactly. As we learned in Community Super League, when we brought hounds, creature type hound, specifically our deck was All Dogs Go to Heaven.
It was great.
So it was Hounds and Wraths. Hounds and Wrath effects. And the professor brought Legacy Merfolk.
And which, destroyed us.
Yeah, which our deck was not, you know, was not ready to handle.
If you Google Community Super League, you can find all the lists that people brought that week, which was really cool. What did we say? Modern was our cutoff?
I think it was Legacy.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like
Legacy
format.
It would have had
format.
To be.
Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, we had quite a wide pool to draw from, and we decided that Hounds was the way we were going to go. It was actually a pretty sweet deck.
So there were some people like Kenji took Scarecrow, but then had just like the Grindstone Painter's Servant Mill deck. Like that combo mill. I think Wedge from the mana source also had like, you know, something like crazy and broken with a graveyard strategy. And then other people just brought, you know, some people did what we did and just goofed around.
Yeah. The girl from Bracket brought horrors, which was kind of cool. A super neat creature type horror.
Yeah.
But I think you're making a good point in that even if you have a creature tribal deck, it doesn't have to always focus on creatures as your win condition, technically.
No.
I mean, it can, obviously. Like elves, what do? They play big elves, they play elf lords and pump up the team. But for instance, Kenji's deck is a great example of using creatures in a unique way to assemble a combo.
Yeah. So take a look. There are some banned cards in Tribal Wars, and again, it kind of just depends on what format you're going with, and you can decide for yourselves what the banned cards are. But then there's stuff that's like Engineered Plague, which can kill all of one creature type. So it's stuff like that where it's like, obviously you're going to, or all creatures of the chosen type get -1/-1, right? So it's like something like that is going to be, it's going to make the games not fun. So there are different ban lists for Tribal that you can look up that are going to make your games more fun because it's not going to, you know, allow one person to, you know, it's like, who's going to draw their Engineered Plague?
Oh, I wish there was a Magic Online room for playing Tribal Wars. I think that'd be really fun.
There used to be.
Oh, man. Bring it back.
If it's something that you want to play, you can always write to Wizards and let them know.
So some good tips if you are interested in building a tribal deck that I stole directly from Gavin Verhey, who wrote an article on DailyMTG.com. Make sure that your tribe you choose has enough creatures to fill it.
Yes.
So there's going to be some like gremlins, which unfortunately we probably don't have enough of to build a 60-card deck around yet. But just make sure you have enough. Humans is obviously an enormous category.
You need at least 5 gremlins.
So how many gremlins are there?
I bet you that we have 5. Because there's Ruinous Gremlin, Ruinous Gremlin, Terror of the Fairgrounds,
Thriving Grubs.
Thriving Grubs.
Salivating Gremlins.
I already named that one. Yeah, that was the 2-3. There might be. I bet you that there's 5. Because there was one that came before Kaladesh.
Yes, there was.
So you have enough, technically.
Oh,
you might
God.
Have to use every single one in existence.
I mean, I'm down for that.
4 copies of every single one in existence, but...
So you want about 25 to 30 creatures, ideally, is his recommendation. But, of course, that's just a recommendation. You don't have to go with it. The reason that you want so many creatures is the power of a tribal deck is usually in the synergy that you have with all of your creatures in your deck and not necessarily in the spells that you're playing. So you kind of want to maximize that. And that goes for how you play the deck, too. So you're going to value your creatures more probably in combat than you might typically, just because they work better together, at least in some of the tribal decks that I've had the pleasure of seeing. And then, of course, don't be afraid to go off script if you need to. We're not saying that every single card in your deck has to be a gremlin or a tree folk or a zombie or a vampire, even though that would be cool. You're probably going to need to have a few cards that aren't exactly in your tribe. Hopefully, we'll maintain the flavor at least, though.
Yes. Again, you need one third, so that's 20 out of a 60 card deck. I don't know how sideboards work.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Well, oh, well.
That's, you know, we're here to just send you off on your way of your search for knowledge.
Exactly.
An example of a good tribal deck that is a little tougher because of the way the cards are is dragons, because they're usually very expensive. There's cute little ones like Dragon Egg and Dragon Whelp and that kind of thing. But that's one where you might have to kind of fiddle around to try and make your curve work out in that sort of deck. But dragons would be super sweet. I would do that. I would do that.
Yeah.
And a vampire deck was something I was hoping would come together after Innistrad, but it wasn't quite there and it never quite got there. So I'm hopeful in the future for some kind of creepy vampire deck to emerge.
Yeah.
I mean, emerge, choice of words. Okay. But yeah, tribal decks are something that's super fun that you could put together. Another way to kind of play casually with your buddies, if you're not into Commander, if you don't want to play Canadian Highlander, Canadian Highlander, or any of those other kind of casual formats, perhaps making some sweet tribal decks and battling is more up your alley. So just consider it. Make a list of your favorite creature types, put it under your pillow, and the tribal fairy will come bring you a deck. That's not true. Don't tell it to children. It'll get their hopes up and they'll be sad.
So, Maria.
Yes.
Now you have to tell us, like, what's your totally biased best tribal and why?
Oh, boy. 100% best tribal deck. Squirrels.
Squirrels? Why?
Because it's really cute. I actually want to know.
Wait, you're opting for squirrels over gremlins and cuteness?
Yeah.
Have you thought this through?
I mean, like, they're pretty close, but I think I would want more of gremlin variety before I said gremlins for sure. But, like, squirrels, you could play squirrel nest. You could play hermit.
Deranged hermit?
Deranged hermit, which is a really cute card. Gosh, now I'm like, is there even enough squirrels? Hold on! Gather MTG card type squirrel, fluffy tail. What's your choice?
Hold on. I have to figure out if there's the type that I want.
Oh my gosh, my cat just bit me. Did you all see that?
I saw it.
Assaulted. Okay, there's some pretty cute squirrel cards here. There's an unchanged card, which is adorable, which is a squirrel. That's not going to be legal. Squirrel mob. Squirrel mob gets +1/+1 for each other squirrel on the battlefield.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's definitely not enough squirrels.
What? Okay, wait. So one, nope. Yeah, that's not, there's a squirrel wrangler.
Yeah, wrangle some squirrels. One, yeah.
Yeah, there's one creature type squirrel.
Come on, wizards, get on this. What's your choice?
Mine is weirds.
Excellent.
I just like saying it.
How many weirds are there?
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weirds.
Oh, that's good. 7 weirds,
and they're so unpredictable. They all do crazy things.
I recognize some of these weirds. Looking over, yeah. I didn't realize they were weirds.
Ravnica is full of weirds. Ralzeric attracts a lot of weirds.
That would be a fun deck, too, because you could just play a weird deck.
Exactly. You play a weird deck with, like, lots of instants and sorceries also in addition to your weirds.
Sweet.
Yeah. And there's Melek, Melek, is it Paragon?
Yes.
From Ravnica. Weird wizard. guess his creature type.
That's a great legendary tribal creature deck.
Weird wizard.
Dang it, we missed the boat. Okay, CSL 2.0 if it happens.
Weirds. Weirds.
Commander 2016, more stuff.
That's right. We already talked about some of the sweet new Commander abilities and Commander cards that were coming out in Commander 2016 two or three episodes ago when those were first being previewed. But now the whole set is here, and that means that it's time to name the cutest and the grossest card.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's moments like this that I live for, Megan. I literally live for only this moment.
You're like Vanna White. I heard that she lives to touch
touch those letters.
Touch those little lit panels.
I was going to say turn, but she doesn't even turn them anymore.
No, she doesn't turn them. She just touches them. She just
touches them.
That's right. Back in the day, it was turning.
Yeah.
Does she still do that job?
I think so.
That's impressive.
She's got career security.
Yeah, she does.
I mean, once you learn how to tap a letter or turn a letter or whatever.
Yeah. She's like the Kleenex of lady game show people. Right? Because it's, you know, it's like she's that person. You don't ever say, you know, the pretty female host of a game show. You always say the Vanna White. Vanna Whiting.
Yeah. And imagine if somebody replaced her riding in the streets. Yeah. I wouldn't accept it.
It would be really strange.
I grew up watching Wheel of Fortune almost every single day.
I only remember watching it when we were at my grandparents' house because we didn't have a TV at our house.
My mom was addicted. It was unsafe.
I mean, I like it. It's a good, you know, I think it's a good game as far as games go.
Cutest card is not Vanna White.
No.
If there was a card called Vanna White, I'm sure Craig Wesco would play it. But Commander 2016, cutest card. A lot of cute cards, actually, in this set, so it was not an easy decision. But I'm going to go with one that I believe will be controversial because a lot of people had opinions that they were trying to peer pressure me about on the internet for cutest card in Commander 2016. And guess what? You can't pressure me. My cutest card word is final. And drum roll, please. The cutest card, Commander 2016, Gamekeeper. It's 3 and a green for a 2/2 creature elf. Oh, here you go, Megan. It's an elf. When Gamekeeper dies, you may exile it. If you do, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card onto the battlefield and put all other cards revealed this way into your graveyard. So its ability irrelevant.
You know what? I cannot believe that it's not Grip of Phoresis.
Is that the big...
It's the tiny germ holding a giant sword.
That one was definitely a consideration.
Oh,
pretty cute.
Riot.
So the reason I picked Gamekeeper is because there's a bunch of tiny little turtles with their adorable little hungry faces being like,
what a disappointment.
And also the Gamekeeper has long flowing locks, which is contributing to the cuteness of the card. But yeah, the germ holding the sword was great. People wanted the little sheep that got turned into like a dinosaur monster. They thought that was pretty cute. And it is. And it is. But I think...
Grip of Phoresis.
These little dudes are so cute. So Megan's got grossest card.
Yes, it is Guilt Feeder. It is gross.
That's a nasty
name.
It's
like a weird... It's like a weird air jellyfish with its tentacles in somebody's head.
Air jellyfish.
That's what it is. It looks like
terrifying.
It kind of reminds me of you know, in A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
It. Right? Like
yeah,
that.
I see it.
It's kind of exactly like that.
An air jellyfish would be one of the scariest things to come at you out of nowhere.
It would be. Can you imagine if you were walking down the street and all of a sudden like an air jellyfish? Can you imagine if that were a thing?
Oh. Gross. It would just get its sloopy tentacles all over you.
Oh, God, yeah.
But it wouldn't even be like an Eldrazi that sloops on land. It just sloops through the air somehow. Yep.
Gross.
That's the sound it makes when it's slooping through the air.
Super gross.
I was just doing a little hand puppet for all you.
I could see it.
Listening. You really missed out. I miss my calling to be a puppeteer, Megan. I think about it sometimes.
I think you've talked about this before.
I probably have.
You definitely have. But Maria, there was another cutest card.
What?
But it was cute for other reasons.
What?
It was cute because it warmed our hearts.
Oh, that's so true.
It was cute because it warmed our hearts, and it said, do you know what? Magic is a goddamn game that will represent everybody.
That's so right.
You freaking haters.
So we have to talk about Kianos. Is that how you say this?
Kineos.
Kineos and Tyrio of Miletus, which are the guardians of Miletus, if you remember that card.
That's right, but it's earlier, before they were big statues.
Yes, so it's really, really cute. It shows a gay couple, and they are a legendary creature, human soldier, so they can be your commander. And they're at the forefront of a commander deck. They're red, green, white, and blue, and they're a 2/8. And at the beginning of your end step, draw a card. Each player may put a land card from his or her hand onto the battlefield. Then each opponent who didn't draws a card.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have to call this card out because we're super happy that Magic decided to print this card. And the art is, like, representative of their relationship. Like, he's playing in his hair. It's kind of adorable. And it's, you can see adorable, their statue being built in the background.
It's so great. Oh, and the flavor text. Look what we fought for. Look what we built together.
Aww.
You get it.
You get it, you two. And it's kind of cute because if you go and read Guardians of Miletus, like, people like said that these were statues of warriors, but instead they were actually two of history's greatest lovers.
They knew back. Oh, yeah. Like, you mean the flavor text of the card implied that it was like, oh, no, they're actually.
They were actually just lovers. So this is actually the flavor text. It was an 06 with Defender for 3. The histories speak of two feuding rulers whose deaths were celebrated and whose monuments symbolized the end of their wars. In truth, they were peaceful lovers, and their story was lost to the ages.
Aw, why'd you lose that story?
I don't know.
Bad job on their part.
Sometimes a book accidentally gets caught in the rain.
What?
R.I.P.
That's not a saying.
Sometimes I think about how many books were destroyed by Vikings and stuff, and I just get really sad.
What?
Like during raids and when they would come over and take over lands and burn everything, and when churches were all like, burn, you take all this stuff, get it out, fire of books.
Yeah. Those ones are sad because they were like illuminated texts, you know, that people have spent a long time illustrating, which is really cool. But, you know, like a lot of places that the Vikings would have, you know, sacked were like, wouldn't have had a lot of books.
I'm just sad because
that doesn't make it any less sad.
I just want to know more about King Arthur. That's really why I'm mostly sad that we don't have any, you know, people who were there at the time writing about it. It's like two or three
generations. I don't know. I feel like if you knew more about King Arthur, you might be disappointed in him.
Most likely.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you revere him because he's a myth, but there's tons of people, there's tons of kings that we know a ton about, and we don't revere those people the way that we revere him, because we don't know the details about him, and we know the details about them. Like, King Henry, no one can go around romanticizing King Henry VIII. We know too much.
You had gout, and you were just a dick.
No, he had syphilis.
And gout.
Sure.
From his wound in a joust or a battle or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, that's not gout.
What is it?
I don't know what that one is.
Where you kind of rot on the inside from a wound.
Oh, gross.
Anyway, this card is something to be celebrated, and we wanted to bring it up on the show because we're really happy to see more representation happening in Magic. So kudos to you, Magic, for making this happen. Quick update for everybody on our fries poll, ketchup.
Ketchup is really in the lead right now. 50%.
Slaughtering 50% the competition.
Of the vote. Lots of I presume Canadians who are upset that poutine is not an option, or mm-hmm. gravy and cheese curds.
Yep.
It's not an option on the poll. Also, salt and vinegar.
Yeah, salt and vinegar.
Those are my favorite kinds of chips now.
Oh.
I think that's the day I knew that I was an adult. Salt and vinegar chips are my favorite kind.
It's a good indicator.
It really is.
You're ready now to be a Brit.
Yep.
I remember going there the first time when I was young, and salt and vinegar was pretty much like that was the option, or mm-hmm. plain. And I was kind of just like, what? I was so salty, as it were, because I was used to like Doritos of all shapes and flavors, you know. But actually, British chips are my favorite because they have cheese and onion chips over there, which we don't in America. We don't really have cheese and onion chips, which is a darn shame. Anyway, what we're talking about now is the World Magic Cup.
Yes. Yes. Surprisingly.
the World Magic Cup coming up this weekend. You can follow the action on twitch.tv/magic starting Friday, going all the way through Sunday. Teams from around the world competing. How do we choose who gets on these teams, Megan?
So the captain of the team is the person from that country with the most pro points.
Okay.
For the year.
All right.
So for instance, Brazil's team captain is Paulo.
Oh, of course.
Of course. The U.S. team captain is Owen Turtenwald, who is player of the year this year.
Yep.
And yeah, it means that there's like a lot of names that you would recognize. Lucas Blohan, who won the a pro tour last year, is captain for the Czech Republic, for instance. Martin Mueller is the captain for Denmark. So there's going to be like a lot of names that you recognize in that captain spot.
Yeah. So if you're not captain.
Yes.
How do you qualify?
There are World Magic Cup qualifiers. There are three of them. And if you win one, you got a spot on the team, kid.
Whoa, sweet. So it's like completely different than like you don't qualify like doing a GP circuit or anything like that. It's a just completely separate event.
It is a completely separate event.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So this year we've got some really strong teams who will be competing. The way that the show is formatted is they're going to start out with Team Sealed on Friday, which I think is going to be just amazing to watch. We got a sneak peek of it at GP Rotterdam this past weekend.
Which you can go back and watch the coverage of. There was video coverage.
Yes, there was. And it was awesome because the way that it goes that I've seen at least is Team Sealed teams that are really good or have really good players tend to actually always do really well, which is not surprising because Team Sealed is a very, very difficult format. You've got to build three decks from 12 packs and they've got to be extraordinarily powerful because everybody else is opening bomb rare after bomb rare, removal after removal, and you have to figure out how to make sure each of those decks is good enough to carry your team if need be, but not steal too many things from one deck, blah, blah, blah. We talked about it on our last Team Sealed episode. But the interesting thing is that there's three people playing, and then one person is kind of like the overseer for the Team Sealed portion.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to like go and talk to the players and everything like that. So, but they're not actually playing any of the games.
Yes.
So that's kind of funny. Like, would you?
Well, it's that way for all of it. It's always three people playing.
Oh, it is in Unified Modern as well. So, like, what do you put your best player as the one who goes between, or do you know?
You know, that's part of the strategy, man.
Oh, man, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I don't think you can, but.
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, World Magic Cup qualifiers are huge events.
Yeah, they are.
So, like, you have really good players in all of the seats.
So, it's going to be some insane magic to watch. If Team Sealed isn't your thing, like we said, Unified Modern is the other format, which is not like normal Modern.
No. Unified Modern means that there can only be 4 copies of any card across all of the decks.
Right.
So, for instance, if you think that Infect is the strongest deck, you can't have all three players playing Infect.
Yep.
One person can play that, but then, you know, you're going to have, if you're going to want to play it with Noble Hierarchs, for instance, that means that you're taking away access to Noble Hierarchs from another deck.
Right.
So you're going to, it's part of the strategy to pick three decks that are all going to be strong, but aren't going to have a lot of overlap in the cards that they're using.
Boggles, am I right?
I mean, people aren't going to want a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Although it does have, you know, in that case, that's when you get into, like, I think lands is one of the things that's difficult to share.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, Razor Verge Thickets and Horizon Canopies.
Yeah.
I guess you don't play Horizon Canopies, do you?
I don't even remember. It's been too long.
So you might end up with overlap in terms of what lands you're trying to play, which can be an issue.
Yeah. Who are you rooting for, Megan?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Li Shixian is the captain for Hong Kong.
Uh-huh.
And I think, like, he's just a great player. I've seen him in so many top eights. I feel like I formed that opinion back when I first started watching a lot of PT coverage, and I was just like, this dude is always in the top eight.
Li Shixian just has a chair in the top eight with his name on it.
Exactly. Like, he's such a good Magic player. Let's see. I know. Didn't Denmark win 2 years ago?
I feel like they did.
I think they did. Because it was the format that had Dune Blast and it was Dane Blast.
Whoever wins, so,
Someone made that kind of pun.
Please make a pun about
someone
it.
Someone made that kind of pun.
The last time the U.S. has won, which the U.S. always has a strong team, obviously, mm-hmm. a lot of players to choose from, was 2007. Wow. 2007, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
But if anyone can do it, Owen Turtenwalls can lead a team to victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, Shota Yasuoka.
Yes.
Is obviously on the team for Japan.
Yep. Makes sense.
Certainly great Magic player. has a lot of pro points.
Yep.
I mean, made finals of a pro tour recently.
Yep.
Pretty good at Magic.
Czech Republic is a team a lot of people are talking about. Lukas Blohan is their team captain. Andrei Strosky. Yeah, that seems like a strong team.
Yes, agreed. Canada has Alexander Haine as their captain and Jacob Wilson on the team as well.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Two very, very good pro players.
All right, go tell me who's on the Welsh team, Megan.
The Welsh team, let's see. Wales, Ben Jones.
Yeah, Ben Jones.
David White.
Yep.
Aaron Boyhan.
Yes.
James Sawyer.
Woohoo, Wales! I was cheering for Wales last year, and they did pretty well early on, and then I think it was just like straight drop off. But yeah, it's really fun to watch too, because the teams sometimes come in like a team outfit or national costume, which I think is really cool. So that's part of something that I love to see.
Yeah, like at a traditional garb of some kind.
So,
which in the U.S. is just a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, in the U.S. it's a t-shirt and jeans, and you're holding a bag of McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, even Flock for Slovakia.
Yeah,
obviously.
Cool. Another.
Oh no, Matej is playing for Slovakia.
Oh yeah, that's right. Matej, friend of the show, Matej Zadelkaj playing for Slovakia.
Yeah,
he's retired as a Magic player, but he's gonna come back.
Yeah, he seems super retired.
He's come back to play some World Magic Cup. Yeah, so like this is going to be a sweet tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend tuning in. I can't wait to see these unified modern decks.
I know.
To see what people are on.
And it's also, you know, good practice coming up for what the team unified modern.
Yeah.
That's what tournament is that?
I think it's a team GP in Dallas.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, like I was thinking it was Texas. So keep your eyes peeled for a deck you might want to play.
Here's one of my guesses. I bet you that some version of a red-green Valakut deck is going to be like very prevalent.
Why?
One, it can be a very powerful deck. And two, it doesn't have a ton of crossover necessarily.
Yeah.
A lot of it does play like Lightning Bolt or something, but you can always take like use Sudden Shock instead.
Yeah.
And then it has a lot of, you know, like ramp cards like Search for Tomorrow or Explore or Farseek that just like don't happen in other decks.
Yeah, so having a unique deck that has cards that not a lot of other decks want is a really good way.
And is very powerful.
And is very powerful, yes.
I saw a turn 3 kill at this on the Star City Games coverage of last weekend. There was an SCG open in Columbus, I think.
Yes. Well, that's crazy.
Which is modern.
Well, I'm ready to watch on Friday. So get your bowl of pizza rolls.
Yep.
Put them in a bowl, put some milk in there, and eat them with a spoon. There's no wrong way to eat a pizza roll, except that way that I just described, which is
that one was
horrifying.
Wow, that one was terrible.
And tune in and check it out. Maybe we'll save some Stroop waffles for you. Flavor Text Theater presents literal Flavor Text Theater.
Wait, that makes it sound like we're going to lick cards.
We haven't played Pick, Lick, or Flick for a long time.
That's true,
reminds
we
me.
Haven't.
Anyway.
But this time, we're going to pick cards, and then we're going to have to, like, plan a meal around those cards.
I think this is a very...
You know, like a meal inspired by.
Nice, fancy way for us to have a cocktail party.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, yeah, you have to give, like, a theme for a cocktail party and a menu that goes with
it. If you've been wondering, what should I do at my next cocktail party with all of my Magic friends, look no further.
Yeah.
Of course, all of these cards going towards our Patreon drawing at the end of the month. Whew. All right, I have one. Do you have one?
Yep.
Okay, you should probably go first.
All right, so at this party, everybody is going to come in, but when you're, like, before you even get in the door, you have to shotgun a beer.
Wow, I would not be able to go to this party.
And it's going
to
just be all finger foods. The party starts at 6, and everyone's trashed by, like, 6:30 if we're doing the job right. And then it's just like, you know, like cheese puffs, pizza rolls. It's a classic live fast party.
I'm going. My next party is is one you don't want to attend. It's a secret. It's like a murder mystery theme party. But the really bad part is that every piece of food is laced with arsenic. It's really so bad. It's
just a murder party.
It's a murder, straight up murder party. At malfunction.
Okay, this is a party where you get there, but you never stop telling people that different parts of the party are about to begin, but they never actually do. So, like, when people come in, you're like, oh my goodness, we're gonna have drinks in just a couple of minutes, but they never come.
Oh, torture.
And then, like, in the middle, you're like, at like an hour, and you're like, okay, dinner's gonna be ready in just a minute. And everybody's like, what the fuck? There were never any drinks. And then, like, towards the end, you're like, oh, it's time for dessert. There's never been any dinner. It's called commencement of festivities. You're always just starting the party.
Worst party of all time.
Pretty bad.
This party is interesting. It's a themed party, so everybody has to bring a dish. But every dish that you bring must be a dish that you save. And it has to last for the next 20 years because you're not having the party that night. Oh, no, you're having the party in 20 years. So 20 years later, you're coming back and you're eating all the food that you brought 20 years prior.
Jeez.
So bring a Twinkie. Bring some M&Ms. Bring, like, a cockroach souffle because it's got to keep built to last.
Okay.
So, it's a terrible idea.
This is a party where a bunch of misanthropes don't get together. Instead, they all stay in their homes. They smoke a lot of weed and they do their laundry. It's called High Tide Hermit.
My party was also for pot smokers, but it wasn't like you brought food, you just brought your favorite dank buds, and you made your own pipes, glass blowers plus lot.
Ooh, okay, mine is a party where you come, like, you clear out all of your furniture, and you put, like, butcher paper all over the walls.
Oh,
you God. Tape it up, and, like, all over the floor, and then you just open a bunch of different colors of paint. And so it's like a finger painting and, like, all kinds of painting party. It's I'm called in. Spontaneous Artist.
I am into that party. This party is the one where the food is not on a table nor in a kitchen cooking. It is hidden throughout the house, and you have to go find it like a little raccoon. So you might be down for this party. You have to forage and find the food in the house, sequestered stash.
So in this one, you have to play a game of 20 questions at the door, and if you lose, then you don't get to come in.
Oh.
It's called Minister of Inquiries.
This is a party that I'm sure a lot of us have been to at one time or another, especially if we've been married. It's a party where you meet your significant other's parents for the first time. Harsh scrutiny, harsh scrutiny.
This is a party where you all get together and you have different kinds of, like, tarot readings and, like, crystal ball gazing. Mm. And, like, you try and have what's it called? What are they called? Come on. The circle.
Circle. Seance. Yes.
You try and have seance. It's called prophetic prism.
Sweet party. How about this party? It's all like, it's not for wimps. No Minnesotans could probably get away going to this party because you have to eat only spicy food. Only the absolute spiciest food known to man is available at Chandra's Pyrohelix.
Okay, so at this party, you all, when you come in the door, you have to write down one thing that you are terrified of doing.
Oh.
And then when you're at the party, there's, like, a lot of, like, dress up clothes, so you get all fancy dressed up, and then you get totally trashed.
Yeah.
And then, like, 3 hours in, you have to open the paper and do the thing that you wrote down that you're terrified of doing.
Oh, shit!
It's called Ornamental Courage.
Megan, you should have been a rich socialite with just
oh my God,
evil streak.
It would have been great. Can you imagine that party?
Yep.
Like, literally, it's just like, hey, you're going to come. You're going to write down something you're afraid to do.
Yep.
And then you can get up dressed super fancy and just get crazy wasted. But then you're going to have to do the thing on that paper.
That's a movie right there. 100%. It's a movie, and somebody's thing is kill somebody. It's obviously, that's one of the things.
Yes.
So, like, it turns into this whole thing.
Oh my God.
So my final one is a dinner of white rice, carrots, celery, uncooked beans, and milk. Plains.
Oh, I uncooked beans. Also, the rare was Dipala, but I couldn't think of something for it.
Oh, Dipala. Yeah, okay, so these are...
That's just a party, like, you rent out an airplane hangar.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I've always... That's, like, on my... It's a weird item on my bucket list.
To rent an airplane
hangar? No, to be in an airplane hangar at some point.
I think we can make that happen.
I said it was a weird thing on my bucket list.
How big of a hanger do you need for this to be?
I mean, like, legit big.
Okay, so like something that would house a 747.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm talking like commercial airline size hanger. If you have a hookup, let me know. I'm serious. This has been on my list for a long time.
I think I can make this happen, but I can't make it happen if it's like a, I don't know anybody.
No, I mean like a real big one.
What do you want to do once you're in there?
I just want to stand in it.
I mean, yeah, you're not, I feel like there's got to be a way.
Can you imagine? It's so crazy. There's so much space.
I don't know. We definitely need to do an extra 5 minutes of bucket list items.
Yes.
Yeah, so DePaula, not too shabby there.
No, a pickup not at all.
For a Patreon winner.
Yeah, that's right. This pile will go in our November Patreon giveaway. Hey, everybody. Before we sign off, it's been a crap week for some people.
Yeah.
Probably for a lot of people. Not only that, but we've also gotten some crap for our show being political. And all that we wanted to say to that is, you know, if you think that politics and the show shouldn't mix, go fuck yourself. We get to decide what we do with our show.
Because
it's our show. And two, if you are a minority of any kind, you know that all of your life is political, because in every aspect of your life, there are people who aren't treating you as an equal and as a human being. So guess what? It's always political.
Yep.
For some of us.
You can't. Divorce one from the other. They just live together.
Exactly. And all of that being said, we just wanted to let you know that we are always here for you. If you need to write to somebody, if you need to reach out to somebody, please send us an email. Tweet at us if you don't have our email address, or if you want to send us a direct message on Twitter and that's easier for you. But we are here for you guys.
Yeah. We want to be a place in the community that's safe and that's welcoming for everybody. So if there's anything that's on your mind that you just want to get off your chest or whatever you want to do, shoot us a message and we will listen and reply. Because in these kinds of times, it's important that we stick together and that you also know that you have somebody out there who will continue to fight for you and stand up for what's right. Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Megan, let's check in on our French fry poll from earlier in the episode.
Important closer. Okay, tell people where they can reach us while
you're
this. Sure.
Well, while Megan's checking in our French fry poll, remember, you can always reach out to us. MagicallyAmateuring.com has an email contact form on it. And all of our back episodes, all 199 of them. That's insane, which reminds me to tell you again, tune in next week for episode 200, a musical Magic the Amateuring. You can send us a message on Twitter, at MTAcast. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/MTAcast. And if magicallyamateuring.com is too long for you to type in your browser, a lovely listener donated MTAcast.com. So you can just type that in and it'll redirect you to our website. So you can find us all of those fantastic places. If you're a patron, you get to hear extra content on patreon.com/MTAcast. Megan, results of the poll.
Okay, right now, ketchup is up 51%.
Wow.
51%. Mayonnaise at 11, nothing at 18, and other at 20.
Ooh.
Also, someone on here has mentioned, like, probably actually my favorite thing, which is mayo and sriracha.
Oh.
Oh, God.
What's yum-yum sauce?
Yum-yum sauce is like... it's like a bunch of things. It's like some amount of vinegar and some amount of like mayonnaise and some amount of like ketchup or other flavory thing like that.
Yum yum sauce. Oh, it's so good.
It's pretty good.
Anyway, check in on our poll at MTAcast to get a closer look on what actually ended up winning, because it's not done yet.
No, it's not done. We still have some ways to go.
Thank you again, of course, to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Head over there for all of your singles and magic product that you could possibly need under the sun. They have a great website, fantastic customer service, and wonderful support of people who are doing great things in the community. So we couldn't be prouder to be sponsored by Card Kingdom. So let's support them as well and go there and hand them some money and say thank you to them as well. So that's our show. Don't miss next week. That's all I can say.
It's so good.